You are now listening to The Project.
To The Project.
To The Project. Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, live, and live. With your hosts, Mank, Dr. D, and Mehdi. I know my body wants carbohydrates. Like, I feel it. My body wakes me up in the middle of the night and, you know, I will go into the kitchen and just have, you know, a huge spoon of peanut butter. It's the grossest thing in the world, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. But it's like, for some reason, my body's like, I want the carbs, the sugar, the this. And, you know, I get that glob of peanut butter. I'm like, all right, I'm good. You know, after drinking like milk and whatever else. And then it's like, all right, brush my teeth, go back to bed and I can fall asleep again.
I really embraced the idea that I have to eat more protein if I want to build muscle. So I'll have a cup of eggs for breakfast. I have Greek yogurt every day. That's another 25 grams. I'll have chicken on a green salad every day. That's another 25 grams. And then dinner is a protein and some veggies for another 25 grams. So if I can get 25 at each of four meals, then I'm hitting it every time. And if I'm under and I have to eat more, there's worse things. It's easy to eat more.
All this and more in today's episode. Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of The Project, and today we are joined by Amy Ross Kelly, who has an amazing weight loss story. I think one that all of us can relate to, some of us probably in our current situations. And the added advantage of having you on this show is your recipes on Instagram. I fell in love with them. I thought they were amazing. Amy, welcome to the show. Really appreciate having you on. So where's the creativity come from with some of these recipes? Just out of curiosity before we get going.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Maddie. I'm really excited to get to know your audience. You know, recipes, I've always loved to be in the kitchen. And so if I think of one thing I want to make, I can at the same time think of 10 different ways I want to try it. So like, for example, this morning, I really love oatmeal. And so I'm thinking, okay, I think I want to do lemon oatmeal and cinnamon oatmeal and maple oatmeal and blueberry oatmeal. And I just, you know, it goes from there. You can take one recipe and spin it 100 times. And I think it's good every single time. So.
No, that's awesome. And now let's jump into your story and your background. You know, you kind of struggled like most of us, and I think you're doing really well for yourself in terms of a dieting and the weight loss and falling into the industry gimmicks. I think that we've all fallen into those traps with the no sugar and, you know, the keto or the Whole 30 or the no sugar for 30 days. So why don't you start from the beginning and, you know, tell people a little bit about your background, how you worked in the health and service field for many years and, you know, and just kind of dive in.
Yeah, I don't know how far back to go, but I could probably even take you back to when I was like 10, 12 years old. I remember being so interested in nutrition and food, mostly because, you know, I grew up loving to eat, like I'm sure a lot of people do. But I know specifically when I would go to the library with my family or whatever, I remember the change when I went from like fiction, young child books to going straight to the health and nutrition section of the library and just getting everything I could read about health and nutrition, but at the same time, really struggling with that back and forth of, I love to eat and I love to eat healthy food, but I just love it a little too much. So I overate from the very beginning, even when it was healthy food. And so I was always a little heavier when I was in high school and junior high. I probably carried 20, 25 pounds extra than I needed on a small frame. I'm only 5 foot tall. So 20 pounds for me was kind of significant. It made the difference between like size 14 pair of pants and a size 2, you know, just 10, 20 pounds. But when it got to my highest weight, I had started college and I even decided from the beginning I was going to study nutrition, but I gained probably 30, 40 more pounds when I started school. My parents were going through a divorce at the same time. I suddenly found myself with the dorm room cafeteria, and just all the things happening at once led to me really overeating and being super uncomfortable with how high my weight got. And so I kind of struggled there for a couple of years. And then I was able to, just through sheer willpower, get, you know, that 20 pounds off. But so then I spent the next 25 years, literally, because I'm 47 now, I spent the next 25 years just kind of being that same 10, 20 pounds overweight, or, you know, than I was more comfortable with. And the whole time working in the health and nutrition field. So like I said, I just love food. Even though I was eating healthy food, you know, I was just eating more than I needed. And I can go into, you know, how easy that is. But if you just look at, you know, your typical nuts and seeds and protein and carbs, and you're trying to get all the good things in, you know, you just can overdo it pretty easily. So fast forward to my kids are growing up, they're starting to leave home. And, you know, I just remember thinking, do I really want to spend the next 40 years just always chasing that goal? You know, I kind of was tired of chasing it. So like you said, I did all the diets. I tried to get there in so many different ways. And I love to binge on weight loss information. I think it's so fascinating, and I still do. So my final attempt at getting to my goal was that I decided I'm going to just cut out sugar. That's the answer to everything. Everyone's saying sugar is addictive. I know that if I just cut this out, I'll get to my goal. My mind will be clear. There will be no more fog. I'll have all the energy in the world. And so I did that for 30 solid days. I did not cheat. I didn't deviate. And I gained weight. And I was like, you have got to be kidding. If this one thing that I read is like the solution to all my problems doesn't even work, you know, where do I go from here? So I just kind of had a really good internal discussion about, clearly it's not the food. Food is not the reason and not the solution. I had to figure out why I was eating so much. Why would I eat when I don't need this much food? And I really started getting into paying attention to every meal. Like when I would have the urge, you know, it's easy when you work from home, especially you know, people will find in the past year, when you have the urge to eat something, you just do it. You never say no to yourself. You're just like,
yeah,
I need a snack, and I'll go to the fridge and grab a snack. You know, there's never a question, do I really need a snack right now? Probably not. So anyway, I started just really diving into where I was mentally when I would sit down to eat. And a lot of the times it was nothing more interesting than the fact that I was just distracted while I was eating and I didn't pay attention. I would scroll through social media while I would have cereal, and I would have bowl after bowl after bowl because I just kept wanting to sit there in my distractions. And so the very first thing I did was just eliminate all the distractions around my mealtime and pay attention to what I was eating and why I was eating it, and if I really needed to keep eating, and finding out if I was full or not. One thing also that really changed when I finally lost the weight was I stopped snacking, and that was massively pivotal in my mindless eating, because snacking for me is just mindless. I don't oppose the 6 meals a day. I don't, you know, it's fine if people want to graze all day, but for me, grazing just meant eating 3 and 4 times as much as I needed to eat.
Yep.
So after the whole mindful, and I'm not talking about intuitive eating. I don't feel like I'm in a place where I intuitively eat, but mindless versus mindful. As soon as I got control of the mindfulness of my food, then I just took it to the next level and started really paying attention to, you know, the macros, the calories, just because I really wanted to get that body that I had been wanting for 47 years. And it happened. I was only able to stick with the calories and the macros because I became mindful of my meals, because I became aware of when I was eating versus when I was just grazing to distract myself.
It makes total sense. I mean, once you go into calorie counting and that goal is there, I mean, my goal, like I told you earlier, you know, I wanted to get down to like 81 kilos or 83. And a lot of that was through calorie counting, by inputting the calories and really knowing exactly how much I consumed, exactly how much I burned. And that was, you know, as much as my wife hates to hear it and, you know, my co-host Meg hates to hear it, because we've had a debate about calorie counted versus not calorie counting. And if you're really serious about it and you really want to get to an attainable goal, then you kind of do have to count. You learn how to do it for 30 days. In my opinion, I learned how to do it for 30 days. And then after that, it just kind of, now I know what 2,500 calories looks like, or 1,600, or am I, you know, did I have enough sugar today or enough carbs? So what was it like making that transition? You know, obviously, I think I've gone through it where I've gone through, gone to a restaurant and, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't eat anything here because it doesn't fit into my macro profile for the day. You know, my cousin's birthday, for instance. And, you know, everyone made fun of me, looked at me funny, you know, including my wife. So how was it for you?
Honestly, it was so interesting because when I got scientific about measuring everything, it actually took the drama out of the weight loss process. And I think there's a lot of times that we tell ourselves stories like, oh, I ate so well today and I don't know why I'm up a few pounds. But when you're measuring without the drama and without the emotion and without the judgment, then you can see, well, I thought I ate really well yesterday, but honestly, all those, you know, crumbs and bites and snacks and picks and everything, I actually was probably 1,000 calories more than I needed. And so it really took out the judgment of what I was doing. And so I think a lot of people think if they count calories or if they measure their food, that it makes them neurotic. But for me, it was actually the opposite. It made everything make sense. Finally, I thought, no wonder I never lost the weight, because I continuously ate so much that I didn't, even though I thought that I wasn't eating that much. It's easy to think.
You're right. It's very enlightening. Like, it's like, oh my God, like how much did I actually used to eat? Because my damage would come in the weekends. I'm the type of person where I'm, you know, pretty good all week. You know, I'll be mindful. You know, I'll stick to sort of my macro profiles. I stick to my portions, vegetables, meats, everything, carbs. But weekend rolls around, I go to my grandmother's house, and all of a sudden, you know, in Kuwait, we eat very hearty food. So there's a lot of rice, a lot of oil, you know, a lot of lamb meat, which contains a lot of fat. I'll be the last one to get up. And then I'll follow it up with like two or three pieces of cake. So, you know, the deficit I used to go in for the week, I'd make up for with like a 3,000-4,000 calorie day, easy. On a Friday.
Oh my gosh. I found that too, because I started tracking on a spreadsheet a weekly total instead of a day, like, so to get a daily average. And it's true. You can not be in a deficit because of your cheat day.
Yep.
And it also, again, very enlightening and takes away the judgment. You're like, you know what? My body's not broken. My body works exactly like it was supposed to. It's science and it's math.
Yeah, so. No, 100%. No, 100%. Now, what do you say to the people who say a macro is a macro? You know, like you can have 120 macros of Doritos versus the 120 macros of a healthier food, let's say. You know, what is your argument to that, just out of curiosity? Because, you know, you've been through it all. So where do you stand on that?
Yeah, my argument is that you got to find out what is going to help you stick with a healthy program for life, right? The journey is the joy, right? So for me, if I have clean macros, if I have more protein than I used to eat, I used to be almost 100% carbs, but I found when I eat more protein, I can stick with my program with a lot less white knuckling it. So if I'm eating mostly carbs, there's no stopping point, basically. I can overeat easily, but when I switch to cleaner macros and higher protein, then I don't feel famished. I don't feel like I have to eat all day. And also, I'll make a point about the hyper palatability of food is just when things taste just so good to me, I have a lot of trouble sticking to my macros for the day. So what I would say is you can have the Fritos and the Swedish fish to cover your macros, but you're not going to be able to stick with your plan as easily as you could if you had Whole Foods. Whole Foods helps you stick with your plan 100%.
100%. I love that you say that. I was talking about that last week about hyperpalatability and how, you know, Doritos. I used to work for Taco Bell. I used to work in fast food.
Okay.
This stuff, it's literally designed in a lab to make you eat more. KFC, you know, came up with a formula of let's make our food smell really good and attract people with the smell alone. And I didn't even know that existed until I sat down with the guys from KFC and they're like, oh yeah, you know, that smell is on purpose. You know, we make that smell come out of the chicken so people smell it and attracts them to the restaurant. And yeah, that's one thing about, you know, certain foods that are manufactured, that they are hyper palatable, and it's very easy for, you know, a handful of Doritos to turn into a bag of Doritos. I know that because my mother, you know, she has Doritos and Ruffles up, you know, at her house. And when I go over, you know, I'll take a handful, I'm not going to lie. And then that handful turns into two, it turns into three. And then I'm like, oh man, what did I do? I just did my damage for the day. You know, so
yeah.
I totally get it. But besides that, what were some of the key tools that you used to sort of tackle the weight issue and tackle losing weight, especially right now at an older age? It's a little bit difficult, and especially when you're prepping for competitions, you know, especially for like bikini comps, it's really difficult to get your body into that physicality. So what are some of the tools that you use to get there?
Well, some of the mental tools I used was, especially because of the bikini competition, first of all, I told everyone what I was doing. And I had a habit of all my other weight loss attempts, I would try to keep private just because, you know, you don't want people to know that you care so much about your physique, I feel like, especially as an older person. Like, I'm not from the generation of selfies, so I don't want people to know, you know, how much it bothered me that I was heavy. So I think the first step was telling people, and then like for my husband and my sister and those kind of people, I feel like just the, you know, sharing my goals helped me to stay on track, because finally I didn't feel as ashamed. I didn't feel like I was trying to hide the fact that I was eating a salad for lunch because I have goals. Before, I would be like, oh, I'm just eating this salad because I love salad, you know, and I would try to be, you know, super, I don't know what the word is, like just virtuous about it. But the truth is, I wanted to get on that stage and not, you know, be ashamed for not being ready. So I told them that was one thing that really helped me stick with it. And another mental thing was I found things that helped me be more excited about life than about my next meal. So I think that's hard for people, especially when we work it from home. And sometimes in our day, the best part of the day is our next meal. And so I really tried to find what other things interested me so that I wouldn't be so fixated on, okay, now breakfast is over. What am I going to have for lunch? Now lunch is over.
Yeah.
What am I going to have for dinner? So I really kind of dug deep and found some things that I enjoyed. I really enjoy photography. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy and being okay with doing things that bring you pleasure so that food's not the only thing that brings you pleasure.
Yeah, no, and that totally makes sense. I mean, when you do kind of have a goal that you're working towards, even for myself, first it was weight loss, and then I was like, all right, now this got really boring. I hit my goal. Now where do I go? Then I got into, I dabbled in strongman a little bit, trying to figure out what I wanted. And I was like, all right, I'm not strong enough to do this stuff. And then I found CrossFit, and then I was like, okay, this is kind of like right in my wheelhouse. So it allows me to, at the same time, if I cut my macros down to like 2000, I'm starving. Like, I'm literally starving. I maintain my macros around 3,500 just because of the sheer volume that I go through in my training per day. You know, we're talking about 2.5 hours of, you know, intense training. So it's pretty insane, and you can undereat. And I think a lot of the time, like, we're talking a lot about overeating. What about undereating? Because you were talking about protein consumption earlier. And I think one of the biggest macros people undereat is protein. So what were some of your keys to ensuring that your protein consumption was at a decent level for competing? Because obviously you're trying to put on muscle and that requires protein. So what were some of the tools that you used for that?
Yeah. First, I want to say, I think this is okay to change, you know, depending on your phase in life. Like, there are going to be more times that you need different needs, and to always evaluate, like, what are my goals? What am I working towards? And competing for me really helped to change. Instead of me just eating for weight loss, now I'm eating for like a physique goal or a performance goal. And so for me, I really embraced the idea that I have to eat more protein if I want to build muscle, and realizing how hard it is to build muscle. Like, you have to really hit at least 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight to even see a tiny increase in your muscle. And so when the goal changed for me, trying to get more protein so that I can fuel my goals, then it was never a problem to undereat.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know what the other girls are going to come to that stage with. And if I want to even be competitive, then I've got to step it up. So I eat a lot of the same foods every day, but I always start with like a cup of egg whites every morning. And because I'm only 5 feet tall, I only have to eat like 125, 150 of protein a day. So it's not that much when you're intentional about it at every meal. So I'll have a cup of eggs for breakfast. I have Greek yogurt every day. That's another 25 grams. I'll have chicken on a green salad every day. That's another 25 grams. And then dinner is a protein and some veggies for another 25 grams. So if I can get 25 at each of 4 meals,
you're hitting your goals.
4 to 5 meals, then I'm hitting it every time. And if I'm under and I have to eat more, then, you know, there's worse things. It's easy to eat more all the time.
Yeah, no, that's true. Just out of curiosity, what's your carb consumption like? You know, is it more on the side of sweet potatoes, or do you jump into the rices at all? Or what does your carb profile look like?
Yeah.
Because that's a question I get asked a lot.
Oh.
And my response is always, look, sweet potatoes are your best friend. For me, it's regular potatoes and sweet potatoes and, you know, mixed greens. You know, that's my go-to all the time. So what about you in terms of, you know, carbs, good carbs?
Yeah. So my favorite carbs, I have oatmeal almost every morning. And the thing about carbs too, is measuring has been really important, because I try to eat 100 calories of oatmeal a day, which is only a third of a cup. But I think before I was tracking and measuring, I would easily have a half a cup, 2/3 a cup, and be the same, you know, it satisfies me the same, but it could be 200, 250 calories by just doubling your oats. And so I only measure 1/3 a cup of oats, 1/3 a cup of rice, like white rice for dinner, which is only 100 calories. So it's all in measuring for me, but sweet potatoes, oats. I am not against gluten. I'm not against bread. I love it very, very much. But I also know that that's just a hyper palatable food that's hard for me to slow down on. If I have a piece of toast for breakfast, I want 7.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I just love toast. So for me, the oats is easy to control. The rice is easy. The sweet potatoes. And depending on how close I get to this show, I'll count my, fruit, 100%. I love fruit. So I'll put berries in my oats. I'll put berries on my salad. I have a banana almost every day. When I get closer to this show, I'll start tracking my vegetables more, specifically, because I love carbs from broccoli and I can eat 10 cucumbers a day, but those add up. So I do have to start tracking it when I get closer to the show. But right now I'm at 150 carbs, 150 protein. Every fourth day, I have 225 carbs just to, if it's a longer run or I'm cycling that way.
That's a really good point. And, I think it applies to a lot of our listeners is, okay, now, do you alter things based on your activity for the day also? I mean, that's something that I usually do. If I'm extremely active, I know my body wants carbohydrates. Like, I feel it. My body wakes me up in the middle of the night and, I will go into the kitchen and just have, a huge spoon of peanut butter. It's the grossest thing in the world, 1 o'clock in the morning. But it's like, for some reason, my body's like, I want the carbs, the sugar, the this. And, I get that glob of peanut butter. I'm like, all right, I'm good, after drinking like milk and whatever else. And then it's like, all right, brush my teeth, go back to bed, and I can fall asleep again. So there is a medium that our body does speak to us. How does it look for you on, higher active days? You've run marathons before. You've participated in half marathons also. So, when you run a marathon, obviously either leading up to it, you got to either carb load, or even after it, I would say you'd probably be pretty hungry. So how do you base it on your activity too? Will you say, okay, well, I ran a 6K today or 6 kilometers more, or, 3 miles more, well, I'll have, an extra, 500 calories. How does that work?
Yeah, I think this can trip a lot of people up, because while I do have more carbs and more calories on a long run, it's not that much more. So for example, if I have an hour for cardio, I don't change too much. But and as soon as it hits over an hour, I'll try to add 25 carbs for every 30 minutes or an hour, which is only one extra banana that day.
Yeah.
Or one extra serving of oats. And I think when people are doing marathon training and they're running 2 hours, suddenly they think they need 1,000 extra calories. But truly, we can fuel on 25 carbs for a whole hour. So anyway, but what it looks like for me is once a week, I try to go on a long run. And on those days, I'll eat before I run rather than after. And I'll always have a banana, some rice cakes. I like little salty, cheesy rice cakes just because I like the salt for just kind of fluid balance. But so yeah, always a banana, always rice cakes. If I can get up an hour or 2 hours before, I'll even have the oatmeal. I probably won't have any fat or protein sources before. I'll just use the carbs. But then if it's any longer than that, then I start taking, just your common endurance shot blocks or like mid-run fuel, like Cliff Bar, or, the Cliff Blocks, things like that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
25 grams of carbs for every like 30 minutes extra of working out.
That makes sense. It's funny because I went to a dietitian once. I wanted to see, because CrossFit is very, for me, it's really difficult to manage my diet and performance, because when I bring my calories down, my performance dips big time. And, I try to be competitive as a master's athlete. And that to me is like, all right, well, I'd rather not sacrifice performance and sacrifice the, having the sculpted body. Like, to me, that's not really important right now. Mm-hmm. But when I went to a dietitian, they had me on around 1,950 calories, or about 2,100 calories. And I remember after doing it for a week, my numbers in terms of strength just plummeted. And I was just like, all right, something's off here. And my coach was like, dude, you're not getting enough carbohydrates. He was like, we fuel, CrossFitters fuel on carbs. He was like, at least buy the carb drinks. And have you ever tried those?
Yeah, well, you mean like a Gatorade or something?
No, it's like it's literally just like this white powder. It's like a protein powder, and it's just carbohydrates. You put it in water.
Oh,
it's
gross. I've heard of
it. It is gross. Like literally, it's the grossest thing.
Okay.
And I drank it for the first time and I was like, oh, I just feel weirdly full, you know, and it just didn't sit well. So, you know, long story short, I was just under eating, and it's so hard for people that are in high intensity sports like that, Spartan races, to manage it, especially intra workout. Now, intra workout, I like how you say, you know, throwing the blocks in the Cliff Bars or whatever. Do you have any other secrets? Like, do you ever create your own Gatorades, for instance, like homemade Gatorades?
I've never done a homemade Gatorade, but I do like to carry Gatorade if I'm on a long run. So I'll have, you know, two little water bottles on a vest, and one will have water and one will have the Gatorade. I do notice a huge difference when I drink Gatorade, especially in the summer, just because I just feel like I can go so much further. So it does help. And, you know, this is what I love about the difference between eating for performance versus eating for physique goals, is that when you're eating for performance, it really just takes out the disordered thoughts about food, because you're like, no, I want to run fast. I want to lift heavy. I want to do these things. I'm going to give my body what it needs to, you know, do it. And for me, a lot of times that is just eating, but a lot of times it's also not eating too much, because if I eat too much before a run, then it's a bad run too. So you really have to find that balance by, you know, testing, you know, is a oatmeal, rice cakes, and a banana too much before a run? Yeah, usually. So you have to test it and see what feels best for you and eat just the right amount.
Now, on your website, I saw that you have, you know, meal plans and you guide people through the process. What does that look like if someone were to come to you and say, hey, okay, you know, I want to drop, for instance, 25 pounds. What does it look like if someone were to set up a program with you? One thing that I really enjoyed seeing on your website was that you offer the programs plus the recipes. And, you know, to me, I've gotten from dietitians, they'll be like, all right, here's your, you know, this is what you're eating for the week. And, you know, it's like some sauteed salmon, but that's it. You know, it's like, all right, where's the rest of this? I'm not just going to eat salmon and I don't know how to cook salmon, you know? So, I mean, can you talk about your website a little bit and your guidance for people?
Yeah, honestly, all the meal plans that are on my website right now are just meal plans I've made for myself and have documented with pictures and the recipe, mostly so I could go back to it and think, okay, you know, last summer when I was running, I was trying to eat 1500 calories. Here's what my meals looked like. So a lot of them are me writing my own meal plan and then retrospectively, like, filling in all the details of the recipes and the pictures and all that kind of thing. And mostly just because I'm hoping it'll give people food ideas, because I think a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of people, they'll want to start a program, but they kind of just get stuck on the idea of, okay, I know I'm supposed to have oatmeal for breakfast, but I don't want just oatmeal. I want to make it taste good. I want to know how much oatmeal is in my breakfast to control my carbs at the same time. And so I think it was just more of me trying to flesh out all the details so that I could go back and follow my own plan in the future. So yeah, I put them all up there, and I like to have guidelines and parameters, but be flexible at the same time. So the very last one I put up, it was just by me being aware of the fact that I always have fruit and oats and eggs for breakfast and a green salad for dinner, lunch, and then, you know, a protein and vegetable for dinner. But what does that look like when you want to eat something different every day? You know, so just me going back and saying, okay, today's oats had blueberries and maple syrup, and tomorrow it had peanut butter and chocolate, and the next day it had something else. And so I think you can be flexible within a plan, but also have these guidelines so that it's predictable at the same time.
No, it makes sense. And I think my go-to when I was really, you know, really cautious about what I was putting in my body was having that plan or my own structure that I followed, where it would be same as you, oatmeal in the morning, get those carbs in, For me, that's when I really discovered overnight oats, chia seeds, and, you know, kind of like you can put a lot of things into oatmeal to make it taste so much more like pumpkin spice. No one really uses pumpkin spice. I threw that in my oatmeal. I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, this is gold. And it's something that worked for me. I appreciate that about you, that the flexibility with things. And how flexible should people be? Because there's obviously that fine red line between flexible and overindulgent.
Yeah, I'm really trying right now to talk about just how you can design a high volume day, but have it be modest in calories and knowing what swaps to make to be full, but at the same time, not overdo it. So for example, my sister says to me, I get to the end of the day and I'm out of calories and I didn't eat that much. And I'll ask her what she, you know, was eating. She'll say, oh, well, I had 3 eggs for breakfast and then yada, yada. And I would say, well, gosh, 3 eggs, that's 2,100 calories. Why don't you try a cup of egg whites and 1 egg? And you're cutting your calories in half, but you're doubling your protein. And so I think all those little swaps, when people are aware of them, or, you know, bulking up your meals with vegetables or cauliflower rice or something to bulk up a meal and have it be high in volume, but low in calories,
yeah,
is going to make all the difference. And when somebody says, I get this a lot, like, I only have 300 calories left today, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, wow, 300 calories, I could eat a lot of food for 300 calories.
Yeah.
Just because I've been practicing so long that I'll say, let's swap your pasta for, you know, a bean pasta, and you can put a lot of stuff on that. And I feel like I should add too, I don't know if you saw this on my website, but when this is actually the impetus of my website was balanced eating. I have a portion plate I sell on Amazon where it has the protein, the carbs, the vegetables, and the fruit. And I truly believe if you can balance your meal with all the food groups, that you're going to be more satisfied and less, you know, food focused by just having that balance.
No, that makes sense. And I think a lot of people get lost with that side of things of portioning it out. And I'm glad you brought that up, because portioning out is really, you know, some, like, I always read you want your protein to be the size of the palm of your hand. But everyone's hand is a different size. And for me, I'll be like, all right, well, if I put the protein chicken on here and I scrunch my hand, I can fit another chicken breast there or something. You know, like, I'll pull those little tricks. So it's like, yeah, I'll play with that gray area. So now you're portioning. How does that work? How would that work based on individual to individual?
Yeah, this is actually my favorite conversation because it really is where it started. But when I was raising my kids, I used portion plates a lot, and they were the reason I created it. But because I would notice at a meal that my kids would want seconds of the breadsticks or the bread or, you know, the dinner roll or whatever, seconds, thirds, fourths. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you totally can have another roll. But you're also, to keep it balanced, you'll need another portion of protein, another portion of vegetables, and another portion of fruit. That way, even though one kid is eating twice as much as another kid, it's the same balance.
Yeah.
So it's easy to eat 4 rolls at a meal, but when you add the protein, the vegetables, and the fruit in equal amounts, then suddenly you don't need that third and fourth roll because you've been able to keep the balance.
Yeah, and you get a little bit more satiated. So I like that because it's true. You know, sometimes I'll start eating, I'll start picking on the broccoli, and I'll start picking on the other vegetables that are there because I'm like, all right, if I start eating this now, then I know when the heavier carbs come out, you know, I'll be a little bit more satiated and I won't have room for it. Unfortunately for me, there's no breaks. Yeah, my mom can put a plate of lasagna in front of me and, you know, 20 minutes later, I'll sit up and the lasagna's gone. Yeah. You know, like, I'll just inhale the whole thing. And, you know, my mom will look at me and she'll joke around. She'll be like, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, trust me, I know. I just inhaled an entire lasagna. And that's like me. I just love food.
Yeah.
I absolutely love and enjoy food. There's no psychological eating for me. It's just, I actually just really love food. I love the taste of it. I love the texture. you know, the different things. And now when we do go that and food or eating does become a little bit more restrictive, through your recipes, you have some awesome recipes on your Instagram page. And now we can make it enjoyable and healthy at the same time, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's like the biggest key of all. When I can eat a food that tastes good and it's healthy, and most importantly, leaves me feeling energized after the meal instead of sluggish and bloated and sick, then that's a win. That's a recipe I want to make again. And so I really have tried to pay attention to how I feel after a meal. And the bottom line is you just feel better when you eat better. And who doesn't want to feel that energized and, you know, able to work through the afternoon? Who wants to feel like they need a nap? I don't.
Yeah.
So eating healthy meals that taste good in the right amounts really can help you feel that way.
No, that's awesome. And how can people find you? What's the best way that they can get in touch with you, or what other projects do you have up on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm just at Health Beet everywhere. And the beet is like the vegetable beet. So my logo has a little beet on it, and it would make sense if you see it. But yeah, at Instagram, I'm Health Beet, and I always share all the recipes there first. And then in the next few weeks, they eventually make it onto my website so that I can have it printable and keep it there. My website is healthbeet.org, and I'm on Facebook and in Pinterest at Health Beet as well. So yeah, all of them.
That's awesome. I sent the link to my mother, and I was like, you got to make this for me, the easy cookies and cream protein pudding. So, yeah, that's on my list for this week. So
good. You'll love it.
I mean, you definitely have some awesome recipes up on there. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And I definitely think a lot of listeners will benefit from your story and your experience. And hopefully people won't fall into the traps that we've all fallen into over the years. And, you know, some people continue to fall into those traps. And real quick, what's your take on the diet supplement industry, like fat burners and, you know, the Excedrin or whatever it's called, Ephedra, all that stuff that, you know, because that was in my day when I was, you know, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, a lot of people were taking, what was it, Hydroxycut, because it had Ephedra in it. And, you know, even the athletes were taking it because it gave you, like, you know, it was like 20 cups of coffee. And that stuff was bad. Like, that stuff was not good.
It was really bad. And I actually, as well, took Ephedra back in the day. But you know what? I never got to my goals. I know that. And I know that I had a lot of headaches if I tried to, you know, not take one day. So I remember the day that they took Ephedra off the shelf. And I was like, oh no, now I'm never going to get to my goals. And I thought, if I haven't by now, then I don't think it's going to help me get there. But I mean, the truth is, it does. I do think that it can suppress your appetite, and I think it can give you a lot of energy, but it's so temporary that there's, like I said, I just never got there trying that route. It never happened for me. So.
No, 100%. Really appreciate you coming on to the show, and we will definitely tag your Instagram handle into the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Maddie. I can't wait to share it with my audience as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram at The Project Thank You, and join us next time.